Long before the church had pulpits and play spaces, she had dinner tables and kitchens. Every meal mattered, and Jesus pointed the way. Everyone was welcome when Jesus sat at a table. From VIPs to traders, from religious leaders to shame-filled sinners, from those in the margins to those at the top, he ate with them all. And every meal became a peek into his new ways of living and new ways of loving. After all, why did Jesus come? He came to serve, to give his life, and to seek and save the lost. And how did he come? He came eating and drinking. What we learn at the table with Jesus is what we need for our tables today.
Hey everyone, welcome to our At the Table series. It's our CWOW weekend, Church Without Walls weekend. We're having a conversation about this little icon on my shirt. Can you see it?
The grenade?
It's a pineapple. It is a fruit grenade.
The international sign of hospitality.
Hospitality, and that's what we're going to be talking about, hospitality. This is, I don't know if I introduced you, but this is my bride, Susie Weibel. I outran my punt coverage, obviously, in marriage, and we've been married for like 32 or 33 years, right?
Or 34.
Yeah, 34 in August. Yeah, you're right. So anyhow, glad to be married to you.
right back at you.
Yeah. So I had like some really good pictures of hospitality in my life growing up. So like the first one was really, we had this screened-in porch in my little town called Bellevue. And it was that we lived on that screened-in porch, and we had neighbors would just walk by, and it was kind of an unspoken thing that if we were out on the porch, neighbors would come up, and my mom would bring them out some iced tea, and we'd just chat. And it was reciprocated kind of wherever we went. And my parents really were kind of leaders in hospitality in our neighborhood, so that kind of rubbed off on me. And then, like, I gave my life to Jesus because of neighbors that were hospitable to me. When I moved to Philadelphia, my neighbors across the street just, I guess they took pity on me. Their names were the Lovelesses, which couldn't
it's
be.
Ironic.
It's very ironic.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no one has loved me more as far, of course, you. But then those people, and, you know, I came to know Jesus through their hospitality in my life, which was awesome. So that's what we're talking about today, hospitality. One of the scriptures I think of that's been important to us as a couple is 1 Thessalonians 2:8. Paul says, "We cared so much about you that we were pleased to not only share the gospel with you, but our very lives." So that's a great place to start. So my wife is an author. She's a linguist.
Are you trying to say a linguist?
Yeah, she's good with words is what I'm trying to say. Linguist.
I think a linguist would be like good with languages.
Language, which you are
which
good.
I'm decent with.
And you're always reminding me that punctuation is my friend.
So I'm a word nerd.
You are a word nerd.
I think
nerd.
Is what, yeah.
Yeah, your first word as a child was
book. Yes.
Which is also ironic.
Yeah.
So talk about the word hospitable or hospitality.
Okay, yeah. So I'll put on my word nerd glasses.
Okay.
And yeah, so I even love the fact that word and nerd rhyme, right?
I love that, yeah.
So hospice, so it's found in a lot of different languages, the root of hospitality.
Yeah.
But everybody who wants to sound like they know what they're talking about is going to talk about a Latin root, right?
Sure.
And so the Latin root is in hospitality is hospice. And so there's an interesting like thread that runs in this word in that it can refer to a stranger. It can be referring to a guest. It can be referring to the host. So it's kind of like this in this entire picture of what happens when hospitality is practiced.
Right.
That you have a stranger, you have a guest who is a guest, a stranger who is a guest, and you have a host. But one thing that's really interesting, I think, is that sometimes the word implied in there is enemy, which
hostile.
You think
maybe.
Of hostile because it's the same root. Or in plants, if they talk about something being a host in a plant, it's hosting a parasite.
Okay.
So, but we're really not going to talk about that today.
Yeah.
Other than the idea that hospitality is a love of strangers.
Right.
You know, it's the love that you show, you know, to a guest who may be a stranger. It doesn't sound very friendly, but it sets up like the idea of Christian hospitality really nicely.
Yeah.
Because we don't, we always talk about how we don't really choose who our neighbors are. Typically, we buy a house based on the house.
It's, right.
You know, we don't do a deep survey or a deep dive into who the neighbors are or are going to be.
Right.
And sometimes we don't even choose who the guests in our home are. So it truly is, you know, showing kindness and care for strangers who end up in your home or in your front yard.
And just so our audience knows, you were a Latin teacher. So
Yes,
you know, not like when I pretend to know Greek.
So I took Latin for 3 years in high school.
Yeah.
And I taught for 1 year where I was like frantically trying one day at a time to just stay ahead of my students.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
But Latin does make sense
to
me.
So let's talk about the things that are important to us as a couple. In hospitality and front yard mission specifically. So let's talk about like four postures or positionings for hospitality. And we just kind of like spitballed this earlier today, like over breakfast. And we kind of have a skeleton, but let's put some meat on the skeleton. So the first thing I think that's really important is that you're filled up so that you can pour out or spill out for other people. If you think about Jesus and his ministry, you see in Scripture, in the New Testament, he is often going away to lonely places, right? Mm-hmm. And he's being with his Father. And obviously, Jesus was the most productive person on the planet, but I think it was because, well, I mean, he was God, but he kind of modeled to us being filled up so that we could be poured out. And so you're a great example of that. Like every day, Susie studies the Word for an hour and prays during that time, during that hour time, and really, I just wanted to subtly get that back. So anyhow, you're a great example of that, of being filled up. So I don't know what type of person you'd be if you didn't do that.
Well, I can tell you, because there's a time, like there's definitely like this period of time where I didn't, where I stepped away from it. And like, it's amazing how quickly things like anger, you know, can creep back into your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's,
yeah,
that's an important one. And then kind of one that you're passionate about is rethinking really how we define hospitality. So let me start with a quote here from Henry Nouwen. He says, hospitality means primarily the creation of free space where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Hospitality is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. So,
yeah.
So, you know, vamp on that for a little bit.
Well, I mean, the one thing that I would say, and I mean, I hope this makes a lot of people feel better about the notion of hospitality, is that we've taken a lot of those, like the spiritual gifts inventories.
Right.
And every single time, the one that doesn't even make a blip on the radar for me, I mean, it's like way at the bottom, is hospitality.
Right.
Like it just doesn't even show up on my spiritual gifts inventory. Yeah. And I don't know, like in yours, does it show up? Like at, like specifically as a spiritual gift, does it show up anywhere?
No.
So this isn't something that's high on either of our inventories.
Right.
Or of our obvious gifts, which is interesting to me. But so for me, I think it's when we talk about considering redefining what hospitality is, we tend to think of hospitality as like a perfectly set table. Right. A meticulously planned event and like this amazing Pottery Barn array and a bunch of dishes that have come straight off the pages of Bon Appetit magazine or something. Joanna Gaines, right.
But, yeah.
And while I would love to have a space that looks like that, that's just not reality. I mean, definitely not in our house.
Right.
You know, our house is always full of dog hair and
we always called the Bernice Mountain Dog hair like the fifth food group.
Right.
That always ends up in your food.
Right. Or glitter.
Yeah. It's yeah. Glitter.
Yeah. And but you know, you'd think, so here's our house and we put in this massive, how big is our island in our kitchen?
It's 12 feet, I think.
But it's like anything else, like the bigger the house you buy, the more stuff you'll put in it, the bigger the island you put in your kitchen, yeah. the more junk will lay on top of it all the time.
So it can get messy.
So it can get messy. Yeah. And so when we redefine hospitality, it's not having this intentional plan for social entertainment. You know,
yeah.
it's having margin in your life and having recognizing that hospitality is something that's actually, whether or not it's a spiritual gift of ours, it's something that we're commanded in scripture.
Yeah.
To do. It's a practice.
Yeah.
You know, that we're called to.
And we're just providing a space. We're not changing
Everybody
people.
Has
we're
a space.
Providing a space so that right. People can bump into Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think that's what we're doing.
Right.
And one of the things that we've been intentional about as a couple is praying and using our house as a place for strangers and people to, you know, just we can be hospitable towards.
Yeah.
And that's something we've always prayed for. God, use our house for your kingdom purpose, for hospitality. So that's been an important thing in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned margin, and I would say that would be the third thing, would be have margin in your life to be hospitable. In Luke 8, Jesus is on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's in a crowd, and this lady who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, she's sought out all kinds of doctors. She pushes through the crowd. She touches the hem, the corner, the kanaf
mm-hmm.
of Jesus's garment, and he realizes the power has gone out of him, and he spends a moment with this lady, and she's healed. And he's in a rush, right?
He's
in a rush. He's busy. Everybody wants his time and attention, but he had margin in his life for this lady. A very, very important moment he had margin for. I think if you're too busy to be interrupted, you don't have enough margin in your life. We wear this moniker of, like, when we ask people, how you doing? We always say, I don't know why I went into an Italian, New York
like
accent.
Boston
how you doing?
Or yeah.
Yeah. but we always say, oh,
busy.
I'm so busy.
Yeah.
Because that's impressive because we're important people and we're busy and we do stuff. And that's really, our stuff is really important. I wish we'd stop that. That's the wrong answer. We need to have margin for people, margin for neighbors. Margin for interruptions. So that's a really important one to us. We avail ourselves to our neighbors. One of the things that we do during this time of year is like when our neighbors, we have a fire pit that we built with them, and we'll do two or three fire pits a week. That's a lot. We figured with our neighbors the other night, we sat around the fire pit, and we thought, how many fire pits do you think we've done together in the last 6 or 7 years? And they said, they calculated around 300. You need margin in time to do that. We don't expect everybody to be us or anybody else for that matter, but you got to have margin for people, for your neighbor. So that's really important. You got anything to add? I'm on margin.
Oh, I could, I mean, yeah. I definitely could say a lot about margin.
Can you say it in 1 minute?
Can I say it in 1 minute? I can't say anything in 1 minute.
That's true.
No, yeah. I just, so in we're talking about at the table. And, you know, one thing that I hear people talk about this when they travel to Europe, and I know this was true in Jesus's time too, that like a meal was an event.
Right.
You know, like we, and you can't do that. You can't have this event where you literally recline around the table for hours
right.
without margin.
Yeah.
You know? And so it just comes back to like, we're too busy. And I think, like, we're really good at giving things that don't take a lot of our time or energy.
Yeah.
You know, in the church.
Right.
But the best thing, our very best resource that we could offer is relationship.
Right.
And it's almost like we keep our very best from people.
Right. The primary way that God has called us to intersect with the world is through neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I fully believe that. I've, like, given my life to that concept. Mm-hmm. You've given your life to that concept is neighbor. So that's really important that we have time to do the most important thing. So anyhow, that's good.
And sometimes we don't have time, but what we recognize is that there actually is time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe we literally or legitimately don't have time to do something, but sometimes creating margin means canceling something else.
Right.
Or foregoing something that we thought we just couldn't live without.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say if you don't have margin, you need to start cutting some good things out of your life.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Like, it's the good is the enemy of the best. So,
right.
Well, that's, and, I know I didn't come up with that, but that's really good.
Yeah. And busyness is the enemy of hospitality.
Yes. True.
Yeah.
So the last thing, last posture of hospitality, there's more. This is not the encyclopedia A through Z. This is not the Bible on hospitality. This is just you and I, just some things that we thought of. But the last thing is lean into your shape. You know, your shape is your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personalities, and your experiences. So lean into that in your front yard mission and in hospitality. Like, and don't despise, like, say your family, don't despise your spouse for not having the same gifts and personality and shape that you have. I mean, that's awesome. You and I are almost opposites in every way. You're good looking. I'm this. You know, you're talented. I am without talent. You know, so
let's get to something that supports your point, though. No,
yeah.
I think you're talking about introversion and extroversion.
Well, yes, introversion, extroversion. Yeah, I always say, like, you know, my life scriptures from Proverbs 25, do not set your foot too often in your neighbor's house, lest he hates you. You've never had to struggle with that.
I don't need that verse, no.
No, no. I'm sure there's a verse for you, but...
Oh, there is. Yeah, we don't have time for that.
Yeah, no.
No, that's huge, and I think what you said is really important, like... Do not despise your spouse or the other members of your family for approaching it differently than you do. I'm the introvert And so, and all that really means is that, that if I'm around other people too much, my batteries get drained.
Right.
And when your batteries are drained, you often experience recharging from having those fire pits or those moments in community.
Right.
So,
And so Susie and I really operate really differently when we're hosting a party or when we go to a party. I kind of equate it this way, that, like, when we go to the party, I work the room.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to every single person. I want to make sure everyone is seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you will sit in a corner and potentially read a book, or you wait until somebody...
Potentially.
You wait until someone comes over and talks with you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm probably more in tune to the person who's, you know, who might need someone who can take 15, 20 minute chunk of time to talk.
Right.
To listen.
And you.
Because I'm content to talk to that one person.
So if you're a person out there and you're an introvert, and you think, well, I can't, hospitality's not my game because I'm an introvert. Well, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're amazing at hospitality and you're an introvert. We just have different roles that we play. Susie works a lot behind the scene in hospitality. Susie won't invite, not won't, rarely invites neighbors, but I am in constant invitation mode, right? Like, that's just how we operate. But Susie makes food and makes sure everything's taken care of and is, like, relationally on a deep level. I'm on a more shallow level. I operate in the shallow end of the pool. You operate in the deep end of the pool.
And that's a good, I mean, that's good. That's right. Yeah. Both are necessary.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I can, we both can lean into both too when it's required. So that's really important. Anything else before we sign off here, Suze? Anything else that you have on hospitality that you want to say?
No, I think just that, you know, again, it's when we take the spiritual gifts inventories, it's not a blip on my radar. It doesn't show up on my, you know, on my scale of things that I'm, quote, gifted at.
Right.
But I recognize, and I think it's important that we recognize that hospitality is, it's a requirement. It's something that we're asked to do. It's,
Yeah.
So that's an important realization, I think.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, hey,
you gotta show up.
Let me spend a minute here, and let's pray for them. Let's pray for our online community. Father, thank you so much that you love us, and because you love us, we are honored to love other people. And Lord, I pray that you would help us recognize our shape, our gifts, and lean into those things when we think about hospitality. And Lord, help us to love the stranger and the acquaintance and the friend and especially the neighbor. Help us to love them and invite them in and let them intersect with Jesus. Lord, I think about the scripture, the four guys that lower the one guy down on the mat. They did all they could just to get this paralytic in the proximity of Jesus. And when we're being hospitable, that's all we're doing. We're just lowering people down in the proximity of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. And we thank you especially for the cross and the resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody.
Amen.